22. Proverbs chapter 22. I want to get right on in, if I could, this morning in the message, and I appreciate everyone's flexibility in that. And we will get everything in tonight that we may have altered here just now. But thank you for everyone in that. Proverbs chapter 22. I want to ask graciously if you would allow your attention to be given to me for a little while here this morning. I wonder how many of us today, grandparents or parents alike, would not mind acknowledging that you have or maybe are struggling with raising your children. Training your children up in the ways of God is not an easy thing to do, as we're going to see. And if we're honest, we would all have to admit that we are in that spot on a regular basis, my case, a daily basis, and perhaps you are there as well. We're going to study something in God's Word this morning having to do with our theme for the year of Unstoppable. And here's what I want to ask you to do as parents in this building today, as grandparents, because you're going to see how it's going to tie in. I want to ask you to just have an open heart. I'm going to talk to you about some things, and they're going to be very direct things in way, and you may even generate the thought that I'm trying to share opinions with you, but I'm not. I'm asking you to open your heart and put your heart in the Word of God and understand what the Bible is telling us, that we as parents may be better at the privilege that God has given us, the vast responsibility to raise our children in the nurture, Paul tells us in Ephesians, and admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you found your place in Proverbs chapter 22, could I encourage you to rise to your feet as we honor the public reading of God's Word in Proverbs chapter 22. You're going to find a verse of Scripture here that you are familiar with. You've probably heard your whole life. It will be the only verse we'll be studying this morning in God's Word. It's found in verse number 6. Would you look at it, please? The Bible declares to us here, "Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it." Reminding us again that that is God's Word. It is totally true.
Amen.
It is fully inspired. It is His message to us today as we're walking through this 2022 world that makes this process of training up children very, very difficult. I want all of our church leaders to listen as well, because these parents have given us as church leaders an opportunity to have a part in this training of their children. We notice this word "train" that is given to us, train up a child. And as we look at this word "train" in a different way, it does still actually fold and fit with our unstoppable train theme that we have been in all year, but just in a little bit more of a different approach. So today I want to speak to you around this theme and this thought. I'm in it for the long haul. I'm in it for the long haul. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. It was many, many years ago that my father was in meetings in Germany, and he was preaching, had a very busy itinerary for several weeks, 2 to 3 weeks at a time. Part of the itinerary that he was having is they were traveling to Normandy Beach, France. If you know anything about American history, world history for that matter, then you recognize Normandy Beach. Normandy Beach is where the Allies made their amphibious landing, which ultimately led to the fall of Nazi Germany in that invasion. They were leaving from central Germany, and they were having to travel on a train through the night that day, but through the night and on into the next day. I was speaking with him on the phone before that he left here, and him being over there. And I asked him as he was telling me about the trip, I said, "How far exactly is that?" He said, "I'm not entirely sure, but I can tell you that it is a long haul." I imagine every one of us in here today have been on some long journeys, some long hauls in our lives. We've hopped in the car, we've hopped on a plane, and we're about to go on a long haul. They're flying to Ireland tonight, about to go on a long haul. And sometimes long hauls can be tiring. They can be exhausting. When we consider this thought of in it for the long haul, and when we look at Proverbs chapter 22 in this particular verse, verse number 6, When we think about these things, we are talking about a journey that we as moms, dads, grandparents, leaders in the church, we are all on together. You need to understand that this is, scripturally speaking, this is a long haul. This is a journey from start to finish as we're going to learn. When we read the words, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We are reminded right here of the responsibility that God gives us as parents, us as leaders in children's lives, and not only the responsibility, but the expectations that He has of us, that we need to know that it is not just something that runs from age 0 through age 18, but it goes far beyond their 18th birthday. It goes far beyond that time when they are leaving your homes or making plans to leave their home, your homes, to go about their lives. To be very, very clear, this and other passages of scriptures as well, they are teaching us that it starts from the very beginning. It starts from the moment that you learn that you are going to be having a child. That precious baby is going to be coming into your life. And it goes all the way through the entirety of that child's life, particularly when you consider the outcome of every decision that we make in raising that child in a way that pleases God. This is a journey that we are to be on for the long haul, from start to finish of life. And if you are not committed to that journey as a parent, you are already missing the number one ingredient needed to make you, in the guise of God, a successful parent, spiritually speaking. Now, throughout the Bible, there are many, many verses that we, on a daily basis, reading through, we misrepresent. We take out of context. The reason that we do that is because we do not study the context, the clock, and the culture of the Word of God. One of the greatest failures of believers today is in that. The context, the culture, and the clock of the Word of God. You've probably known so many just as I have, but so many people who have gotten themselves in a lot of trouble. As a matter of fact, they have been disappointed in things that they've read in the Bible, and they've claimed it as a promise of God. And they have dropped their anchor on it. And then they've gotten upset at God when God did not step in and intervene the way that they thought that He should based on their interpretation of the Word of God. They took what they thought was a promise of God, but it was not even ever a promise of God. I don't want us to make that mistake here this morning. Now listen closely to this. Every person in here has probably heard this verse. And most every person in here probably thinks that this is an ironclad promise of God. But what you and I need to understand is we need to know that verse number 6 is not a promise of God. Did you know that? This is a proverb, and we'll see why in a moment. This is not a promise of God. It is a proverb. Within this proverb is housed a biblical principle, okay? There is housed within it a biblical principle, but it is not an ironclad promise that God gives us that if we raise our children in a God-fearing, biblically sound Christian home, that they will grow to be saved, they will go on to live mighty, fruitful, and productive lives for the Lord Jesus. That is not at all what God is saying. What our Lord is actually saying right here is if we as parents, and in many cases grandparents or guardians, whomever it may be, if we embrace this principle as it is given to us as our guiding light in raising our children, listen to me, the right way in the ways of God, the Lord is simply telling us here that God will help us. And God will honor every one of our efforts. One of the ways that God will help us is He will help us to have discernment in making daily decisions in our lives as parents for our children, if we don't raise our children in a way that honors the Lord, our minds become cloudy. Our minds become muddy with things that come up that are difficult circumstances that we are faced with. Raising your children has more to do with your children than just them. It has to do with you and I. It helps us to have discernment as well. And God will bless our effort. And in doing so, we are at least giving them a chance to make the right choice. Ultimately, the choice of salvation and serving the Lord, it is up to them. But you certainly are increasing your possibility and your chances of teaching them the ways of God and the truth of God if you certainly raise them the way that God said that you need to raise them. So as we have that understanding today, I want you to know that I want to be unstoppable in this as a father. I hope that you as a parent, as a grandparent, as a church leader, you want to be unstoppable in it. I want to be in this for the long haul. Amen. The long-term aspect of this, and to understand this, we must first of all see that there is the faithful involvement of an unstoppable parent. The faithful involvement of an unstoppable parent. A man by the name of Owen Wister. He was an old college friend of President Theodore Roosevelt. He was visiting the president at the White House many, many years ago. Roosevelt's daughter, her name was Alice. She kept running in and out of the room, and she was disruptive, and she was out of control, so much to the point that Wister, being a close friend to the leader of the free world, the most powerful man in the world, looked at the president and said, "Is there not something that you can do to control Alice?" To which the president responded. He said, "Well, I can do one of two things. I can be a parent, I can be the president of the United States, or I can control Alice, but I simply cannot possibly do both." Now, there are several things that we can glean from those words from President Roosevelt. There really are. But the one thing that caught my attention when I read that story is the impression that the president of the United States gave that he did not have time for his child. He was too busy being the president of the United States. Hear me very closely. President of the United States or not. Leader of a major corporation or not. Man or woman working in a factory or not. Man or woman working in an office environment or not. Man or woman working in the instruction industry or not. It doesn't matter. The greatest joy and the greatest privilege that God has ever given to any one of us is to be the parent of those little children that God, He didn't have to give us these children, but He mercifully gave us these children, and we need to be unstoppable in it. Solomon right here, he is speaking of this faithful involvement, and he tells us that the way we are to have it, now get this, parents, there must be an eager involvement in it. Train up a child in the way he should go, the Bible declares to us. See, a parent will never get involved with their child until they see the need of getting involved, until they are eager in getting involved with their child. You are going to train up your child in one way or another, okay? Go ahead and establish that right now. You're going to train them up in one way or another. And if you are going to train your child up, you are going to have to first be involved in training them in the right way. And sometimes that's just not convenient. Sometimes that's just difficult. Sometimes it is a hard thing to do. You see, training up your child in the right way, the ways of God, it involves a whole lot of different things. Getting involved with your children, it may involve putting down the remote control and going out and playing catch with your son or daughter. One of the things my father always had time to do was to go out and play catch. That was probably because he enjoyed playing catch as much as I did. But he always played catch with me. Anytime I asked inside or out to mom's disapproval, we would always play catch. I remember the morning that I was getting married. Melissa and I were getting married. I was running out the door to go to the church to marry Melissa. Dad met me on the front porch of the house that I live in right now, and he asked me one final time. He said, "Hey, let's go play a game of catch." I said, "Dad, I got to go to the church right now. I didn't have time." Do you know something I've thought of through the years that I have regretted? I have regretted not playing catch one more time as the son of my father living in his home. You see, child, you need to understand, you need to embrace those times, but Father, you need to be involved in those times in teaching these things to your children. It may actually involve you skipping out on a gym appearance or maybe missing some recreational activities and just simply staying home so that you may take a walk with your child and spend some time with them. My father in the ministry, he was very, very busy. He was running all the time. And I remember one time when we were in Germany and how the sun was about to set. It was about to get dark. And I went up to him and I said, Dad, I would love for you to take me on a bike ride. Bike riding was a big deal over there. And I think I may have shared this with you before many years ago. I know Dad didn't feel like it. Dad probably didn't have time for it. But you know what he did? He got up and he went on a bike ride with me. We got out and we were heading down a pedestrian track. And it got dark on us in a hurry. I bet you remember this. It was in Aschaffenburg, Germany, and we were heading down a hill. It got dark. Dad was in front of me, and he passed one of those pedestrian poles. You know, one of them big concrete poles right in the middle so cars don't drive down it. And he tried to warn me. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Watch out, bud. Watch out. I said, what? Wham. Head on with my bicycle. I hit that pole. I flipped over that pole. I totaled that bicycle. I muddied. I bloodied. I bruised myself hardly. I tell you, it was awful. I couldn't stand up straight for the week to follow. But I look back on that right now, and I wouldn't take a thing for everything, every bit that it hurt, every bit of the pain, every bit of the battered body and bicycle that I had, because it was a memory that I would not take anything for. Friend, it may involve you, parent, as turning down some overtime. It may involve you canceling, rescheduling a meeting or whatever it is that you can spend time with your child. My parents did that for me time and time again as well. Listen closely to me, parents. We will, and I want you to get this, we will have far better of a chance of our children heeding our training, our children respecting our authority, if we will just simply let them know that they are worth our time when they were younger. And so much of the time, so many of us are fighting that battle today. Our child wants nothing to do with us now. Could it be because we had no time for them many years ago? Those of you that God has given the privilege to have a child that is young enough, don't give them money. Don't give them the greatest education. Don't give them everything they want. Give them your time. Have an eager investment, and that takes us to an early investment or involvement as well. Train up a child, the Bible tells us. Now listen closely to me. You will never get the opportunity to go back and train up a child again. Once it's over, it's over. It's got to be done early. It's got to be done right now. It has been said by many people that Christian parents, they must lay a firm foundation with the Bible, with their children, during the first 7 years of their lives. And then you spend the next 10 years of your life building upon it. From the political climate that we are in, to the entertainment industry that we are in, to God knows social media that we are all seeing right here, to the education system and every other sect of society that you could imagine, this world is more wicked. This world is more contrary. This world is more of a scoffing thing to the things of God and to the Word of God than ever before. Every parent, hear me right now. The way this world is going, they are trying to steal your children. They are trying to steal my children. The education system in the United States is trying to indoctrinate your children. They are trying to steal our children and teach them things that are in direct violation to what you believe, that being the Word of God. They are trying to take control of them. You and I have a responsibility that they will not do it. parents of God, we must make sure that the Word of God, the Word of God, is engraven in the minds and in the hearts of our children, that as they continue to grow old and when they are challenged on it, they are not willing to move on the authority of the Word of God. From the first moment that you learn that you are having children, the first time you hear those words, you're going to have a baby. You should at least be developing a plan, some type of strategy to raise those children in the ways of God in every category for the appropriate time of when it needs to be implemented. Parents, start early teaching your children how to read their Bible, the importance of prayer. Start early telling your children to answer people, yes ma'am, no ma'am, yes sir, and no sir. Start early teaching your children how to look, how to talk, how to act like a Christian, everywhere, but especially in the house of God. I love your children, and my wife loves your children with all of our hearts. Our prayer is that God has allowed us to prove that to you. We really do. But whether it be us or any other adult in this church, it is not anyone else's responsibility to train up your children. It is your responsibility to do it. There is only so much that a children's director can do, a youth director can do, a pastor can do. At the end of the day, it is your job, biblically speaking, to train up your children. There should never be a situation where a child gets mad at another individual because you are having to tell them, that individual, what is best or what is right of what they need to do because you did not do it. It is your job to train up that child. If we do not train them while they are young, understand this, we are likely going to lose them. It has been said that if you don't break their will while they are first beginning to manifest rebellious sin nature, they will grow to break your heart. Can I repeat that? And I think you ought to write it down. If we do not break their will when they first begin to manifest a rebellious sinful nature, they will grow to break your heart. Parent, are you today doing everything you can to break their will, scripturally and biblically speaking? Parents, are you being faithfully involved in the life of your children in an eager way, in an early way? You can't play catch up on raising your children in the ways of God. You better start, and you better start now. There's so much more I would like to say about that. I would love to talk to you privately about it and try to help you in some areas about this because we all need help in this. So we do see the Word of God is teaching us here about the faithful involvement of being an unstoppable parent. Secondly, notice with me the fruitful instruction of an unstoppable parent. The fruitful instruction of an unstoppable parent concerned that his students were not really learning the material and an algebra teacher one day sent a note home to all of his parents. And in the note, it read these words right here. The note said, I would appreciate it because of the material that we are given that the parents would not do the homework assignment for the child. To which the next day, one of the parents returned a note by way of a student, and it read this, and I quote, Dear Mr. Wood, we are flattered that you even thought we could. I bet you've gotten some of them notes before, haven't you, Miss Walker? We are flattered that you even thought we were smart enough to be able to do algebra with our children. That's a fact, isn't it? They come to me and ask for help with their home. Look, you need to call somebody else, okay? I can't help you with this stuff. The fact of the matter is, we sometimes struggle, do we not? Trying to help our children, trying to instruct our children. We feel inadequate in this. We do not feel like we have the ability to do it, and we feel inadequate in it. But I am so grateful to God that when it comes to spiritual things, there is really not much reason why that we should feel inadequate about it, because He gave us a manual, He gave us a book, and all we've got to do is embrace it and follow what God says. The problem with that is we're going to learn in just a minute, so many parents do not embrace the Word of God. They do not follow what God says. If you are a parent here today, if you're a grandparent, if you're a leader of young people in this church, my question to you and answer in your heart, do you really want to follow what the Bible says? I hope you do. If you want to, you need to know, first of all, that it must be a right instruction. You've got to know that what you're doing is right. You've got to know that you are on the right track. You are pointing them in the right direction. Train up a child, the Bible says. Underscore that word train. That word train, it is actually the foundation of everything that Solomon, under divine inspiration, is trying to teach us from the Word of God. This word train, it is literally translated to us to hedge in. The word actually means to narrow. Do you see that? To narrow. It's talking about narrowing the path. This word is giving the idea, maybe back in the old days or even in the current days out west even, when you would try to herd cattle, what you would do is the cowboys that would do it, they would run right alongside of them, wouldn't they? And they would herd them in all into one direction. When cattle are being herded, it is almost like those that are doing the guiding in them, they are fencing them in as they are making their way into the pen. And in many cases, what they do is they narrow that gap. Now, hear me. As our children grow older, and as we as parents mature in the way, and as you look out into the world and you see the things that are going on, a godly parent that is sensitive to the circumstances of this world, you may have started right here, but as you mature spiritually, you will narrow in the path that you are going. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's what Solomon is telling us. You are not a legalistic person. It is love if you are trying to teach them the truth of God. You may start back here as an immature parent, and you may be like this. But as you study God's Word, as you see the world changing, as God through His Holy Spirit deals with the conscience in your heart, there is nothing wrong with narrowing the direction that you are going. I was having a conversation with somebody. It may have been Miss Amy, one of the leaders of our church, and they were organizing some things at my request here in the church, to which they responded with this statement. She said, trying to get all of this together is almost like herding cats. Was that you that said that? Almost like herding cats. I tell you, that is an absolutely true statement. If you've never tried to herd cats, you ought to try to herd cats. To my shame and embarrassment, I want to admit, Andy, I have tried to herd cats before. We had cats in Germany because we had a field mice problem living right off the river. And they would come, they would play in the living room. It was an awful situation. Oh, Mama, oh, she couldn't stand it. We did everything we could to get rid of the mice. We couldn't get rid of them until Jill showed up on the property. Jill the black cat took care of it all. The mice ran away. Well, Jill had several kittens, Dusty, Smokey, Snuggles, Scrappy. I can't remember all of them, but we had them all. And for whatever reason, when I was younger, whatever reason, I liked cats. And so what we would have is in the building, we lived in the back of the church. In the building one day, I tried to line up the cats two by two. I was going to herd them into the boiler room. Don't take that personal. That's just where their food was and everything else, okay? Didn't mean anything else. I was trying to herd them two by two into the boiler room. Let me tell you what, I evidently was so bored. I didn't have anything else to do. I had sunk to the level of herding cats. About a 10 or so 12-year-old boy. I was trying to herd them. It does not work. You cannot herd a cat. If you've been a parent for any amount of time whatsoever, sometimes raising children feels like you are trying to herd some cats. Doesn't it feel that way? You see, if we feel that way, though, if you feel that way, and hey, I do from time to time. It's recent as last night sometimes. I feel like I'm trying to herd cats. I really do. But if and when we feel that way, hear this, there is likely something that we have got out of order. There is something that we are not doing right according to God's alignment in the Word of God. For He says, train up a child, hedge in, narrow the path of a child in the way that they should go. It helped me so much, something that I've known for years and you've known as well. But we just read over it. We notice that word way that is given to us actually translates. It is the same New Testament word that means Christian living. Is the verse starting to come to you right now? Hedge in, narrow the path to the way of Christian living for your children, the way by which they should go. See, when we train up a child God's way and by God's word, it will always be the right way. It will point them in the right direction. I told you in the very beginning to have an open heart, but most every parent in here, including myself, have not been faithful in this through the years. The problem is we are not willing to do it simply God's way, in the right way that He says. Many parents are going by the unsaved or backslidden advice of family or friends on how to raise their children. Through a secular therapist, by the way, I caution you on that, on how to raise their children. Parents are trying to raise their children through the education system of our nation today, by which, by the way, kicked God out of it in 1962. And I have to wonder, how does that align with the will of God for our children? How is it possible if God has been boldly kicked out of something, is that not already taking them off of the path of training them up in the ways of God? What do, preacher? I have a law that I've got to educate. Look, I don't know the answer to that. I can just tell you that's something you've got to consider. And I have found through the years that if you make a decision to take them out of that stuff, God will provide in ways that you could have never, ever imagined. Hedge up that child in the Christian way of living does not mean intentionally putting them in a place where everybody is smoking marijuana around them. Everybody is shooting up drugs. Everybody's drinking under the football stadium bleachers. Everybody's going and doing this and doing that to experiment physically in every way there can. No, mom, dad, you've got to train them up. Hedge them into the ways of God and the principles of God. Parents, all these politically correct influences and educational influence that they are, get rid of all of that gobbledygook that has been influencing in our lives and drop your anchor on the holy, the infallible, the inerrant Word of God. It will always be the right way. It's a right instruction, but a rigid instruction as well. This is where I'm going to lose people also. A rigid instruction. Now you search your Holy Bible or you search a world history book and you tell me one time that raising a child or raising anyone in your guardianship was ever easy. It is not easy. And you just got to commit right now. This is going to cost me money. Lots of money. I spent a lot of money in the past 2 weeks on children. It's going to cost you lots of time. Time and treasure. You see, training up a child God's way in Christian living, it takes a lot of hours. It takes careful thought and consideration. It takes a rigid approach and a rigid attention that is given to every meticulous detail of their life. I am not talking about any level of verbal or physical abuse here. Don't you understand that? That obviously in every way would be wrong. But parents today are afraid to be rigid with their children. They are afraid to be firm with their children. They are afraid to say no to their children. I had to say no recently. This morning on the way to church, Mia said, "Daddy, please, Daddy, will you take me to a place 9 hours away?" No. If you just think about it, sometimes it's just common sense. That was Mia that happened. But look, no ought to be something in the vocabulary of a parent. Few parents say no anymore. Did you know it's a biblical principle that you are to say no to your children? Training and hedging up your children in the way they should go, the Christian way of living, means saying no sometimes. Their little flesh is going to want to do things that you know is not right, and they have to be told no. There is a lot involved with this. So while we're not talking about aggressive things of such abuse or anything, there is nothing wrong with being rigid, nothing wrong with being firm, nothing wrong with saying no. So many parents are so afraid that their children are going to run away from them, or their children are going to make some type of accusation against them to some governmental agency. We're seeing so much of that in our day today. And I want to kindly, with much grace in my heart, say something to you. If you've allowed it to get that far out of control, it may be too late. If you have allowed it to get that far out of control, they are beyond help that you can give them. You have abrogated your responsibility of train up a child. And therefore, the only one that's going to get them is God. The only thing you can do is pray at that point. Pray that God will have mercy on that child. Pray that God will bring them back into the hedge. As we said last week, pray that God will dangle the hook of the gospel out to them, baiting it with grace and mercy and kindness and patience, and they'll get saved. But it's going to take God getting involved. Parents, implementation of training up your children in the hedge, the way they should go, it starts as early as the crib. And many of that will begin with sleeping habits. Can I help you with this? Much of it will begin with sleeping habits. Children today, they need structure. They need it from the very beginning. And sometimes a rigid case, they need structure in the home so that they may learn to have structure as they continue to grow older. I am not suggesting that anybody else overrules your parenting authority. Nobody overrules your parenting authority. Moms and dads, you are in charge. But there's got to be structure in your home. There's structure in the church to help parents have structure in their home. Whether it be in Sunday school, youth, adult ministries, or whatever it is, there's structure that we have. And anytime we try to undermine that, we're doing no favors, particularly for the child or whomever else is involved. We must teach them structure. May I just honestly say that I am bothered. I am burdened. I am broken. I am even baffled by the things that parents are allowing their children to get away with in our 2022 society today. And I'm not speaking of just, I'm not just here in this church. I'm talking about as a whole. There is a commercial that comes on TV. I think it's on every network, on all 700 channels that I've got, if I watch anything more than two. It comes on constantly. Have anybody seen the Eggo commercial? Where the family is in the kitchen and they are trying to feed Eggos to the child, to which the mother comes over with a voiceover and kind of like a pause in the screen. She uses like a hairbrush as a microphone and she says, "Meet the four-year-old who refused to put on pants this morning." Every time that commercial comes on, I can't make a comment. Every time it comes on, I'm thinking, that's not a four-year-old problem. That is a mom and a dad problem. If you are already bowing to your four-year-old and having to bribe them with an Eggo waffle just to put their pants on in the morning, you have lost your battle already. You've got to be right. You've got to be rigid in this thing. May I encourage you, dear parents, and please see my heart right now. Training up a child, narrowing the hedge. That's what we're talking about in the way of Christian living. If you give them a cell phone, you need to make it clear to them in the very beginning that you have unlimited access to it. We go through our child's cell phone, whether she knows it or not, every night. You have full access to it 24/7, and if they don't like it, take it away. Take it away from them and say, no, we're not going to do it. You need to know whom they are texting, whom they are communicating with. You need to know who are they are out having their friends with and their parties with and such things. And if they do not line up with narrowing, hedging, training up in the way of Christian living, you say no. It must be done right. It must be done rigid. Brother John, you're not in the Bible. I'm all over the Bible right now. It's all through the Scripture. We're training up. We are hedging in children in the way of Christian living that they are to go. Many parents are in an uproar right now, and they are boycotting Disney over what we've seen happening over the past few weeks. And I will submit, I think there's a place for each parent to make that decision on. I made my decision. And I think there's a place for it. But what I want you to understand this morning is this. The battle that moms and dads are fighting was lost far beyond this one stunt that Disney, this most recent stunt that Disney pulled. The battle was already lost when we started letting our kids play baseball on Sunday. The battle was already lost when we allowed them to start dressing provocatively against the authoritative truths of God's Word. The battle was lost when we started doing things or allowing them to do things on TikTok and Snapchat that would make our parents, our grandparents, roll over in their grave on. Children need rigid, they need right instruction, because if they do not learn to respect parental authority right now, they will defy and they will challenge all forms of authority as they grow older. It starts in the home. Biblically speaking, you've got to be right. You cannot teach it. By the way, that's why you don't take the Scripture out of context. You've got to be right in this matter. Don't inflict rules on them that you cannot back up in some way of the Bible. And if it is one, then tell them this is mom and dad's position on it, okay? Let them know what the Bible says. I've got both in my home. Some are biblical. I've got some that are personal. I stand firmly upon both. I have no intention of moving. The biblical ones I'll preach to you about. The personal ones I'll talk to you about, if you want to know more about them. But we as God's people have got to get this in our heart. It must be right. It must be rigid. It must be reflective. I must hurry. It must be reflective. Look again at the word way that is given to us, referring again to Christian living. Where are they going to see Christian living? They are going to see it in the home of mom, of dad, of mom, of dad, of mom, dad, of mom, dad, of grandma, grandpa. That's where they're going to see it. A reflective instruction in their life. Simply put this way, just show your children Jesus. Poor Jesus all over their life. If we use questionable language, or if we tell off-colored jokes, they will too. If we find and argue, if we fuss and argue with our spouse in front of them, they will too. If we talk down or rebel against, listen to me, any measure of authority in front of them, they will too. If we don't show them faithful interest that we have from our hearts in the things of God and the services of God, the house of God, they won't either. And you lose all your credibility to teach them as they are going older, growing older, if you don't do it now. May I say this to you as well? Do not ever punish your children with spiritual things. our kids are going to mess up. There's a lot of ways that we can punish our children. But I tell you, through the years, and I know that you've experienced this as well, through the years, you know what parents will do? They'll ground them from coming to church. They'll ground them from going on visitation. They'll ground them from listening to preaching or doing whatever the case. You don't ever ground or punish your children with the things of God, mom and dad. Oh, God, help me to show my heart right here. Here's the problem with doing that. All you are doing is you are revealing your value of God to yourself. You're showing who God is really to you. That your parenting style has to make God the punishment. And in doing so, what you are doing is devaluing God to that child and letting them know that it's no big deal. It's no big deal. If my child had a spiritual interest, I would bankrupt my accounts. I would take everything else I had, punishing them, yes. I would take everything else I had, but I would never take away the opportunity for them to know God, to get closer to the Lord, maybe even to get saved. You don't really know the heart of an individual and a child. They may need to be saved, and it may have been that service. It may have been that event that the sweet Holy Ghost would have invaded their heart, drawn them to the Savior, or called them to do something special in the ministry. And I promise you, we as parents will one day stand before God at the judgment, give an account for why our child went into eternity, why our child did not accomplish what they wanted to. The fame and the popularity of Danish writer Hans Christian Andersen, it rested largely on his children's fairy tales that he wrote, spanning over 37 years of preparation, translated in scores of languages. He was well aware of this, so later on in his life, knowing that he was facing death, he told the musician who was composing his march for his funeral, he said these words, and I quote, "Most of the people who will be walking after me will be children. So make the beat keep time with little steps." God help every one of us to understand that the ones that are coming behind us are little steps. And the beat that we give them to keep time with is going to lead them into eternity one direction or another. If there's one thing you don't mess with, it's our babies. It's amazing how we'll go to war for our children because the coach didn't put them in the game. We'll go to war for our children because the teacher treated them unfair. But the things of God, man. I got so much that I'll stand before God, give an account for. But there has to come a time when I reverse some of this stuff. Say, as for me and my house, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to do it right. I'm going to do it rigid. I'm going to do it reflective. I'm going to honor God to the best of my ability. Never forget, there is a difference between telling a child and training a child. We must be right. We must be rigid. We must be reflective in the instruction of our children, because we will never raise righteous children in an unrighteous way. Never raise righteous children in an unrighteous way. The faithful involvement of an unstoppable parent, the fruitful instruction of an unstoppable parent. If we just do it right in God's way, it will yield the final impact of an unstoppable parent. I can only mention this right now, but if you're going to be in this thing for the long haul, and if you're going to do it right, if you're going to do it rigid, if you're going to do reflect, if you're going to do it in an unstoppable way, then you're going to learn that your final impact is going to be a godly impact. It's going to be a godly impact. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. You got to remember right here, the not depart from it has everything to do with the eager and the early, the right, the rigid, and the reflective way by which you raise your children. If you neglect the first part of the verse, how on earth can you claim the second part? And I bet that's where every one of us are here today. We've neglected A, and now we're reaping the harvest, reaping the wind of the B. The principles here is one of, even if our child rebels, even if our child rejects God, ultimately, again, that is their choice. I believe what God is really saying is there will always be a lingering confidence and understanding in that child's heart that there is a God. And this thing with God, it was real. I believe that this principle can actually be lived out in the lives of our grandchildren as much as it can, even our children. And the full fruit of this principle that God has given to us may not even be seen in our lifetime. I think of Grandmama and Granddaddy Colquitt. I can't get into all that right now, but the fruit they never saw. God is doing in their lives now. That's how God works. You see, a true life of spiritual faith is just that. Biblical faith is trusting that God is one day going to do it. And trusting and embracing that principle that God is not going to let it happen in a way that enlarges His kingdom. He will do in a way that brings the maximum glory to His name. And He'll do it in ways we could have never imagined. If you truly tried your best to train up your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, Ephesians 6:4, the scripture says, this is why you don't ever give up. Story hadn't been written yet. The finish line hadn't been crossed yet. God may have an 11th hour miracle that you may never see. Your job's just to be faithful. We can have a godly impact. We can be in this thing for the long haul. But at some point, and if you don't even see it on this side, at some point, God's going to give you a grateful impact as well. Not only will you go to your grave being grateful for how you were faithful to the things of God, one day that child's going to do it. And let me just go ahead and tell you, parents that have kids running away from God in their hearts, they're already thankful. They're already thankful. They're still rebelling. They're still going their own way. But in their hearts, they're grateful to God. God gave them a mom and a dad. They'll never tell you properly. But they are thankful. One day, our eager, our early, our right, our rigid, our reflective way, it will be remembered. It will be recognized. They will say thank you. Come on, Mick, you can come on up here. I there's so much just in this one verse. I didn't even get to several things, the latter part of the words and such. I had to skip over. You can play whenever you're ready, but I attended a funeral back about a month ago, I guess, of the father of three boys that I grew up with. Some were the best man in my wedding. And I knew two of the boys, three boys total. I knew two of them really well. The third one I knew fairly well, but he was younger than me, and so I was closer to the other two. And these are now grown boys, obviously my age. And they're successful. They've done well in life. But you know, they've got a story of rebellion against God, against their parents. Made some choices that didn't please God. And they've paid a price for it. They know it. They've gotten it all right. And without any details needing to be said, they would stamp my approval on me telling you today that they look back and they wish that they would have listened to Mom and Dad. I stood and I watched all three of them stand over the casket of their father. Father was a faithful man, a missionary for nearly 50 years. Stood over the casket. All three of them, through, in some cases, hard to understand tears. All three of them said, "Thank you, Dad. Thank you for teaching me how to live for Jesus." I don't know if they ever told Roger that before. Not they likely did. But even if they didn't, train up a child in the way he should go when he's 46 years old, 44 years old, 37 years old, 88 years old. He will not depart. He'll always know there's a God, that it's real. Roger trained up his children the right way, the Word of God way. He was in it for the long haul. He stuck with it. The principle became a promise because he did it right. I wonder today how many of us, we just need help doing this thing right. We struggle with it in every way. Moms, dad, grandma, grandpa, guardian, whomever. If you want to have a final impact like Roger had on them boys, you got to start right now. You've got to be eager, early, right, rigid, reflective. You've got to give it all over to the Lord. I don't know about you, but my kids are worth it. I'm not going to fight with a coach anymore. I'm not going to fight with a teacher. But I am going to fight hell. Make sure the devil don't get me. You need to find your spot.